Well, good morning. Monday morning. Another week. Start up the, maybe end up April. The weather view. Brought to you by guys over at the Weather Report. We dropped a podcast last night. Amy After Hours, where we had Amy Nichols on, our tattoo artist friend, entrepreneur, artist. I urge you to go check that out on your favorite podcast app or go catch it at Rumble or Root YouTube. You want to go catch the video portion of that. But yeah, we are we're sponsored by Horrible Designs. Music Making Sense Podcast, Apex Music System, Mad Cave Studios. Ken's absent today. Jason's absent today. So maybe it's just me that's going to fly solo. We'll see what's going to be going on. But had a good weekend. Hope you guys did too. We're actually into the middle of spring. I'm loving it. I'm loving it big time because I get to work out in my garden all the time, man. That's freaking just great. I love it. So, what'd you guys do this weekend? We got a weekend hangover going on. This is the day that we have our weekend hangover. Had to do a weekend check-in. Hope you guys all did something great and wonderful and however you wanted to do it this weekend because. Man, if you're out here in California, today was this last weekend was the day to be out in the wide open, man. I went golfing, checked it out. I've been training, walking, and doing about 2 miles a day. Because when I first started walking the golf course in January, when our season starts, I walk about 15,000 steps. A golf course is about 7 miles. You'll walk that at 64 years old and you've just been sitting behind a desk. It's a little taxing on your body. So what I did when I went walking was the fact that I was just getting tired. So I got tired of it. And, you know, after walking, you know, 7 miles and swinging your clubs more than 100 times, that's a pretty big task. And I was getting blown out by the end of the day. My golf score was up. It kind of sucked, but that's all right. This last time I went and played this place called Pacific Grove on the Monterey Peninsula. It was a freaking very, very nice course. Old municipal course for all the plebs that want to play golf on the Monterey Bay. That's the place to go. Go in there and you can play for under $100. Not like Pebble Beach, it costs you about $500. It was fun. I golf like crap, but that's okay. But I wasn't blown out. So the 5,000 steps that I've been getting in a day have been helping. Morning, Tom. How you doing, brother?
Well, not golfing, but other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, cool.
I used to do a lot of golfing. I started my senior year in high school, and at the time, I would bicycle 12 miles to the golf course carrying my clubs, and then play either 18 or 36 on a cart, and then ride my bicycle home with the clubs. That was challenging.
Yeah, that's pretty studly, man.
Not anymore. No moss.
I was just because I'm sitting behind a desk all the time and not really getting a lot of exercise. Actually, I just started getting back up and moving in this last year. And I had walked the course in January. I had walked Laguna Seca. Laguna Seca is also on the Monterey Bay. If anybody is into racing, they know Laguna Seca racetrack is kind of a hilly racetrack, and the golf course is no different. And by the time I was done with that golf course, I was completely blown out, and it was just not an enjoyable experience. And I really want to walk golf courses. So I decided at that time that I was going to walk every day and get some steps in. And I wasn't going to do that. This last Saturday, I did that again. And, man, I felt great. I mean, the golf game sucked, but I felt great. So a little bit of exercise out there. If you guys can do it, get out there and do it. You're only benefiting yourself.
So. And it is a cheap, inexpensive form of exercise.
Yeah,
like you don't have to buy any equipment other than shoes occasionally.
Don't do it in your flip flops. Don't do it in your flip flops. I once did about 2 miles in flip flops. I'll never do that again. That was kind of a stupid. that's kind of a stupid thing to do. I had blisters for a while. That wasn't smart. So I never thought of it, man. I just kind of put on a pair of flip-flops. I love going barefoot or not having shoes on, and then I decided, I'm just going to do my walk with flip-flops this time. And by the end of 2 miles, man, my feet were like on fire. And I was just going like, they don't lend a lot of support, and they rub the bottom of your foot pretty good. And yeah, it's just not a good way to go. It wasn't a good look. So it's the weekend hangover, Tom. What'd you do this weekend? What was up? How's the campground going?
Everything's fine here. We had a lot of we have two types of people here. Well, most of them are contract workers. So we do what's called a long-term RV park, where they're coming in for at least 6 months. We have one spot that's kind of dedicated to people that are coming in for like a month or two. And we have a couple of those contractors that use this as a base and then travel out from it. So we had a couple of those back. But yeah, it was kind of quiet around here. We had a lot of rain. We live in and essentially, it's a tropical forest. It's classified as, or a rainforest. It's classified as one here on the top of the mountain. And, today's a beautiful day. It's back to being sunny. And so I spent my time working on some AI articles, which is kind of my hobby. So that was kind of fun, just getting out and about and then occasionally taking a break and talking to some people I haven't seen in a while. So,
fantastic. So tell me about your campground. Is it just actually a trailer park? Is it a campground or
no?
Is it open for the public or private, or how's that work?
It is public. So there's this distinction that I don't quite understand because I'm not an old timer. We got into it accidentally. We were going to do it when we retired. We were going to put in kind of a campground or a set of cottages to rent, that kind of thing, because we're on 6 acres here. But we live in an RV, and we added in six our full-time RV pads. And so in the RV industry, you have your weekend warriors and you have your vacationers. They tend to go to campgrounds. They're looking for short-term rentals. And we're more ideally suited for the long-term rentals because our spaces aren't the easiest to get in and out of. So, we're kind of in this, it almost looks kind of like a cul-de-sac. And you kind of have to back your rig in and get it all set up and everything. And we've run fiber internet to all the pads, which is our big draw. And so because of that, we get... most of these people are coming in, and like one guy that's here right now is doing a power plant turn where they're doing all the maintenance on a power plant. So they have a power unit down, and we have an underwater welder, a scuba welder. He's staying here working for the TVA. And, so it's kind of a mix. It's kind of nice because it's kind of like being in a people zoo.
Yeah. you got a little niche industry going in there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then we have about I think about 20 chickens that are free range. That one of the benefits they get with staying here is we give them eggs if they want them. So we have free range chickens here.
So when you're talking about top of the mountain, what kind of mountain are we talking about? What height are we talking about?
Oh, we're at 2,200 feet, so we're not that very high. It's just kind of the tail end of a mountain range down here. Mm-hmm. So it's high enough to be hard on my heart failure, but other than that, it's not that high.
It's interesting that you say rainforest, because a lot of people think of rainforest, they think of the Amazon and stuff like that, but there's lots of rainforest sprung out or along the United States. In fact, the nearest one to us is the Olympia Peninsula up in Washington State. And I was told that was a rainforest because of the amount of precipitation that they get a year in that particular spot, and the lushness and diversity of the fauna that's up there, the flora and the fauna up there in Washington State. And I was surprised because he said, "Oh yeah, this is rainforest." I'm like, "What?"
it's kind of a misty rain. Back when I was dropping a bunch of weight, I bicycled that. I bicycled from Callum Bay, which is kind of on the point up there, down to, I guess it's, forget the city on the Washington side, but I bicycled the coast, the Pacific.
Oh, okay, so you were from or grew up in Washington State?
No, I was from Illinois. Okay. It was just a friend talked me into doing that as a bicycle ride.
Got you. Okay.
And it is beautiful, unless you're 420 pounds like I was at the time. That made it a little more work, because I had to, you had to bike up. It wasn't technically a mountain, but it felt like it at that weight. Yeah, it's beautiful out there. A lot of Native American tribes and all that stuff. Beautiful area.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful up there in Washington. But that's pretty cool. That's your story. I want to hear more about. I want to hear more how you backed into this trailer park here. That's kind of an interesting. Since you told me that you had like a camp, what I do here is like me and my wife are just going to get back into camping. We bought a tent trailer. We're actually doing some renovations to it before we take it back out. And we have what they call, we don't want to go to like the public campsites, because around here, most of the public campsites are filled up with homeless people. So right. We're going to go to their private campgrounds, and they got a website called Hip Camp.
Yep.
And Hip Camp is like a place where, people advertise places on their property where you can come and set up camp and use their facilities for, a weekend or a week or whatever the case may be. Kind of like an Airbnb for camping.
Yeah,
so,
I highly recommend it. It's really good. Hip Camp is.
We
backed into it. To set the scene, I have heart problems from pneumonia back in 2016, so I'm not as active as I was. And when COVID came about, one of my coworkers was living in Massachusetts at the time in an RV, and they announced that they were shutting down all the RV parks within 24 hours. And when we had built this place, we had put in what's called a hookup guest pad, where, guests could come and stay, and we would have electric internet and everything for them. And so I had told them about this, before COVID. So I get this call, literally a call like 11 o'clock at night. Hey, can we come? And I said, sure. And so they arrived, and we didn't know how long they would be there, because this is kind of the beginning of the lockdowns and all that nonsense. And he ended up being here 3.5 years. But one of the things that happened about a month after he got here, he said, I know you don't get out of here much, but do you realize like you go to Walmart, the parking lots are just full of people. And what had happened is the government had shut down all the campgrounds, but nobody had any place to go. So I took some money out of my retirement and threw in four more pads. And it took like a week or two to get the contractor and everything to get it all done. And we kind of put the word out on Facebook, and we were full out of these, you know, truck stop parking lots and Walmart parking lots. We were full within, I'm going to say, maybe 2 weeks. And we didn't charge anybody. If they wanted to pay us for electric, they could. And what they did was, the people that came and stayed, they did property improvements. So like one of the ladies that came, she was a motorcycle influencer, and she built a bunch of decks on each of the pads. So you could, you know, mm-hmm. when you stay there, you'd have a deck and that kind of thing. We had a guy that was really good with electricity, and he did a bunch of wiring for us. And so yeah, it worked out pretty good.
Stay and add some value to the place, and yeah, you can stay here free or barter it out, or yeah.
And that's pretty cool. We did have some people pay, but we didn't ask for it. And then we decided that once it kind of started winding down, we'd just keep it open. We've been kind of full ever since, you know.
Well, that's fantastic, and like I said, you know, this is more of a long-term camping stay for people in the know that go, like, you know, hey, I really don't want to be down in the city and the trailer parks down there. Kind of want to be by myself and alone and
yep.
and kind of peaceful. Well, you got a peaceful, easy feeling up there, right?
Yeah, it's a good place to write a manifesto, you know, if you want to go out in the woods. Now, they do have a tendency to stay. They like staying here because it's really quiet. And of course, you know, it's
yeah,
completely different scene than camping in the city. So that's why we get a lot of city, you know, contract workers. They can sleep easily and then go back into town for their day.
That's fantastic. And how far are you away from the town like that they would work?
The nearest town is Chattanooga, and we're about 20 minutes from the edge of it.
Oh yeah, that works out great for.
Yeah, so yeah. So some they'll commute on an average of 20 to 40 minutes, depending on where they're at.
Well, cool. It sounds like I got a place to pull my trailer to if I want to go visit Tennessee and go check out Marysville when I
We have a lot of people that do that. They'll actually, when they're thinking about settling down in the area, they'll come here and they'll go do their looking, and then they'll buy and get it developed out and then move. Yeah, we have that happen all the time.
Wow. Okay. You got any tent? tent trailer spaces?
What's funny in the state of Tennessee is you can have 12 spots on your property, and as long as you don't offer, mm-hmm. as long as you don't have shared shower or kitchen facilities, you're not regulated.
Got it. Oh wow.
And okay. So what we tell tent people is if they want to camp here, they camp, because we do have 6 acres of woods, and there's a lot of rock climbers that come into the area, and there's a lot of mm-hmm. we're literally 3 miles from paragliding place where they jump off the mountain, a perfectly good mountain they jump off with paragliders up. And we get a lot of those people, and they'll come in with tents, and we let them stay if they want. They just go out and find a place and plop down, but we don't do formal tenting.
Cool. Yeah, we got tent trailers, all kind of self-contained and everything.
Yep, those are nice.
It's just a soft travel trailer, put it that way.
Yeah,
we're shunned in most glamping trailer parks here in California, so they don't like us, you know, because we're a step above pitching a tent, but you know, we're like the ghetto what do you call that? RVs, I guess.
Yeah, well, they work out well, though, for people like who want to boondock, who want to just go out and camp on federal land or public land or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, I can.
They're great.
Well, you know,
they're great for that.
Put my pinky. I could put my pinky out and drink my wine just as well as the people that are in RVs. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I could just be as boozy as them. But for some reason, if you have canvas on your trailer, then you are deemed the enemy. I'm not sure why, but that's just the way people in California are.
It is funny how the system does migrate into all communities. It is funny because there's also this unwritten rule. A lot of RV parks won't let you have a camper that's over 10 years old because they're, camper snobs.
Camper snobs.
Their excuse for it is, well, I wouldn't want to have to look on an old trailer. It's like, oh my goodness.
Oh my.
Yeah, wouldn't want you to
Muffy
have to see
and
something
Muffy
dirty.
Won't like it.
Exactly.
Buffy and Muffy, we can't play tennis with them because they've got a 10-year-old fitter. Yes. Oh my God, how gauche.
So don't be surprised if you get asked, well, how old is your camper? It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm one of those people that say, I don't care.
Yep.
And get away from me.
Yes.
You're bothering me already.
Yes, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, I don't get along with the glamping crowd anyway. I love my sisters to death, but they're both clampers. And I don't call them campers because they don't camp. You know, they got brand new RVs. And they'll learn in 10 years that they're going to have to get a new one. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. They have to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was never a keep up type of guy. So,
Yeah, same here.
I drive a car. I drive a car now that's 13 years old. I'm not getting rid of that. I've got a 1974 truck that I drive also and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I've got an old trailer. And yeah, that's just the way it is. I like to be comfortable, but I don't want to be like in this great big huge RV. That if I wanted to go camping and stay home or and have everything amenities at home, I would just do a fire pit in my backyard like I have and just stay home. I mean,
yep.
There's really nothing different about it, to tell you the truth. Oh yeah, I'm in a different spot. I can go to the beach 5 minutes closer or something. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. That's all. But I graduated from off the ground camping, so I guess I've stepped up in the world there, so I can be kind of a camping snob there. I don't sleep on the ground anymore.
No, I'm the same way. Yeah.
Thank you, man. So yeah, that's cool, man. I appreciate the vision that you gave me of your place, because now I much more understand what your camping thing, how you got that going on.
Yep.
Being able to back right into that, because that was a cool idea, man. You got a little niche business there. That's cool.
It's
man.
Also like low that. Maintenance. You don't get a lot of the maintenance costs associated with running, like, buildings right. and stuff like that. Right. You do have to keep plumbing and electric running, but that's about it. Yeah.
I got another friend of mine who lives just right outside of Nashville, actually. She's podcast host of Jacksburg. Your name is Nicole Sauce. Nicole Sauce has a place somewhere on a mountain out there. I can't remember the name. I think it's I would say Champion or something like that. I'd be wrong, but it starts with C or something. Right outside there. Anyway, she has a homestead there. She has a couple of campsites that she's developing there and getting that going. That's one of her
good.
One of her businesses. She does coffee. She's got all kinds of things. I decided this week that to take the advice of some other entrepreneurs and Warren Buffett that says you need 7 different types of income coming in. And I've decided to diversify mine too. I did a lot of content this weekend in my garden. I actually took a garden plot that had been used in about 12 years. And just reconditioned it, getting it ready to plant for the year. Me and the wife didn't agree on how we were going to use the plot. She wants to plant in it this year. I wanted to kind of wait a year and just get it conditioned, grow a cover crop over it, and and get it all ready for next year. But she wants to do it this year, so I'm kind of fast-tracked it. Did a 6 or 7 segment content, a little workshop on it. So I'll be posting that during the week. And it's pretty informative. So if anybody's out there that in the garden realm, homesteading realm, teach how to take a old plot that doesn't have any kind of good dirt in it, show you how to make some good dirt out of it. Because basically I started out about 20 years ago. I wanted to do gardening. Actually, probably more than that. It's almost 25 years now. Started out with balcony gardening, doing planters and stuff, because that's what we had. I mean, we lived in a condo. We had no yard. So we would plant stuff in pots and stuff. So that's where I got my passion for gardening from. And we bought a house and had a bunch of land on it. And I started learning how to garden. And there's a stark difference between gardening and growing food and growing soil. And so I've kind of morphed into or evolved into this guy that's more into growing soil than growing food, because you cannot grow good, healthy garden vegetables or flowers or anything that you want to grow if you don't have great soil. And so you have to grow and you have to nurture your soil, you have to retain your soil, because basically we're losing topsoil in a huge, huge way here at here in the United States. It's just blowing away, or it's washing away, stuff like that. Here's my counterpart that's going to be doing some gardening with me. He's going to be doing some content. Arcos, man, how you doing,
yeah,
buddy?
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah, brother, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Just getting shit started, man.
How was your weekend? Now we got a weekend hangover going on. How's it going?
Yeah, weekend was pretty good. Had a couple business meetings and stuff like that. So, you know, they're doing some work as always, getting some work done. So, yep. Yeah.
I just got done telling the audience I did a 6 or 7 segment content this weekend on how to start a garden plot. The end of my night happened to be just kind of not editing the videos, but going through the many videos, scrapping out the old ones, the bad ones, keeping the good ones. So, it wasn't a long process doing the content. You know, I had to do a couple of things over narrative wise, but other than that, it's pretty good content that's going to start coming out this week. And I got your Dropbox stuff, so I got to look through that and get that all sorted out, start putting that on the website. So if you want to see any of me or Harkus's gardening stuff, homesteading stuff, just have to go to the Weather Soul YouTube channel. We'll have all our stuff there, and I'm probably going to repost it over there on Rumble also. So me and Harkus are going to team up a couple weeks and do a whole podcast on how we do our gardening, the differences we have between Indiana and California and how gardening is done. I do gardening out here with a glass of wine and my pinky out. I'm not sure how Marcos does it over there in Indiana.
I definitely don't do it like that, man. I actually I'm out here fucking getting the work taken care of, man. I don't fuck around with being all fancy with my shit and everything like that. I see in yours you use raised garden beds and stuff, man. I just got dirt and I just make it happen. You know?
Yeah. Basically the only reason why I'm using raised beds, number one, is that I had raised beds in my yard when I got here. So when I bought the place, it was completely landscaped. It was beautiful. And then the garden spot that I was using was just it had a bunch of, like, somebody had taken one of those, picnic tables, or I guess deck tables, whatever. They have the tempered glass in them, right? And somebody had broken up a bunch of them in that area. So the soil was kind of had a lot of stuff in it. Had a lot of the I want to say peat gravel, stuff like that. So it really was conducive. So I just built raised beds on top of them and been growing my soil ever since. Worked out really good. So I've got some 12-year-old nicely grown soil. It's very healthy, and I keep feeding it every year and keep doing the right things, and grown into a really, really nice growing medium. I get lots of nutritious food out of it. In fact, I had my first garden salad of the year out of it. It was freaking fantastic last night. Went out to my local farmer, and I don't have any tomatoes yet, so went out and bought some of his tomatoes that he does. And he does some really, really good hot house tomatoes. All organic, and went out there with my mother-in-law and picked out some good lettuce. We had some butter crunch lettuce with some red romaine and a little bit of arugula and some salad bowls type lettuces. Had a wonderful, wonderful salad along with some steak last night. So it was pretty good. Had a good healthy meal.
You definitely sound like you got your fucking pinky out with some wine and shit like that, dude. That's that's way too fancy, man. You're over here fucking California style and all this shit, dude. Just any of y'all want to see how regular people garden who don't worry about, you know, hitting the country club before and after they hit the garden. Then you can check out my stuff where I'm out there. I fucking take my shirt off. I'm out there getting dirty and sweaty and fucking knocking shit out and, get down the dirt and fucking making it happen. And, yeah, if I go to town afterwards, people are like, yo, that motherfucker looks like you hadn't showered in a week. And, that's how real people garden, man. We don't worry about fucking frilly foo-foo shit. We fucking just make it happen. Yeah. So that's the difference between California gardening and Midwest gardening. In the Midwest, we know how to fucking get it in. And yeah.
We're going to have the best of both. We're going to show them the best of both worlds. I mean, you know, they'll be really astounded when they see my air conditioned bubble that I use to garden in. So
yeah, kind of really exactly. Nice. Yeah. Exactly. Like an air conditioned bubble and shit. No, man, my ancestors came over here from Germany to farm. And so, yeah, we know how to fucking do it right around here, man. We just make it happen. Yeah. We don't fuck around with it looking nice. We make sure that the food fucking is there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, so what else, man? What's going on with your business? What's your business wise this
weekend? Like I said, I have some. Had a couple of business meetings, so that should be going good. Just had.
I know we worked during the weekend, and I kind of took the weekend off. I took a Saturday off, went golfing, but I know that you work like all weekend. You know, so every once in a while, I take a day off. But,
yeah, I work. You know. Yeah, I work all the time, man. Just because, you know, like I said before, I'm not where I want to be in my life, so I'm not going to fuck around. You know. And I've wasted plenty of time in my life, you know, before where I was like, oh, yeah, I'll take some time off and just enjoy some, you know. No, like I take some time off and stuff like that here and there. But, you know, to be like, oh, it's the weekend, so I'm not working. No, fuck that. You know, there's no such thing as a weekend, whatever, your fucking week never started yet, you know, type of shit. And so, so yeah, whenever I take time off, it's usually like a few hours a day, you know? So like today is going to be one of the days where I go out in the garden, I work on some stuff, run some errands, hang out with the kids for a little bit, maybe work on some stuff on the computer or whatever, a little bit, try to chop up some clips or something like that. And yeah, same with tomorrow, whatever. But on the weekend, I'm just working all day. Fuck. I was trying to hold that fucking yawn back, but it wouldn't work. But but yeah, man, I'm just constantly working on things. What I'm actually working on right now is So I've recently raised my prices on my stuff, and I'm trying to grow my business services and stuff with my marketing. And so what I kind of got the idea for, which I'm going to work on, is getting a couple of commissioned salespeople to do a lot of the legwork for me. And that way I can grow faster. And, you know, because I already have like a referral program with my services. But, you know, with having a referral program, what happens with that is that you're having your current clients refer other people that they know to use your services or to buy your goods or whatever. And that can work out. It's just having, it's just their incentive level is low because they're busy doing all their other stuff. But if I get a couple of people who are already, you know, either trying to build up their name or whatever in the space that I'm dealing with, which is like mainly music marketing. If I'm getting to get some people that are trying to build up their name or something like that, and I kind of incentivize them, and then they can go out and they can reach out to all their current contacts, plus keep on reaching out to contacts. You know, I find those people who are constantly just getting in contact with more and more people, and just have them do a lot of the legwork for me of filtering through a lot of people, and then they send me the more serious leads. Then I can sit there and look at those leads, filter a little bit more, but then just worry about closing and working. And that's going to help a lot more, because they're going to be a lot more motivated because they're more of a salesperson, you know? And so, yeah, I'm working on, I got to work on putting some promotional material together, and some sales material. That way they can have that stuff. That way they're representing, my stuff properly. And then whenever they get people coming to me, then that way the people are already a little bit warmed up, and then I can sit there and just, you know, feed them everything. So, I'm probably gonna clip up some, video clip and stuff like that. That's going to have me in it talking about my stuff. And, yeah, because I know I'm also
so in California. So in California, if you had somebody like that come in, they would actually form a union, and then you would have to be those guys would be your employees.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
That's the way they rule.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
So you're actually your commission people will be contractors, and you will not have employees.
Yeah, right? It'd just be 1099 situation. So, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way to do it, because you know, if you come out here to California and you're going to start a small business, you better think again, because the environment here in California for freaking small businesses, even corporations, is, I don't get it. I mean, for the, what they say, what, like the number four economy in the whole world is California, yet they're just hell bent on destroying the access to businesses here. It's just crazy. If you're not filling the pockets of the coffers of the politicians here, you're not going to have a business. The mom and pops here, it costs you $800 a year just to have a business. That's just right up the top, April 15th, $800. Doesn't matter whether you're an LLC, corporation, small business, you know, you sell shoelaces on the fucking street corner, $800. Whether you make any money or not, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's way too much. Here in Indiana, it's like $100 to form an LLC. And as far as I know, it's a one-time fee. So, yeah, it's a lot better situation, and a lot more conducive to business, you know, because so that's the difference between a state like California and a state like, you know, most of the other states in the United States, is that, you know, California doesn't want you to start a business. They don't want you to do anything. They want you to sit down, shut up, and listen to what you're told, and do what you're told. And
let the big guys talk. Let the big guys talk. Let the big corporations pay us to tell you what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're a servant class. It's a feudal society out there, And, you know, it's like that in most of America. You know, honestly, if you look at it from the top down, it's a feudalistic society where, you know, you just have eaters and then you have producers. But yeah, in places here like Indiana or whatever, you know, my business is based out of Indiana, so I run off of Indiana's rules, and they're a lot more lenient on business. And I don't have to worry about all that shit. And yeah, I mean, honestly, like, you know, it's the situation with me is if I don't like the way somebody's doing business, I just fucking just cut them off, done, and don't have to worry about it. And, but yeah, I got that idea because, so one of my business partners I deal with for my Sony Music distribution and, do a couple other things with him, to help him run his business. He approached me the other day and said, "Hey man, I got this guy who, wants to basically start selling our services for Sony Orchard and, you know, like we would like split the fee or whatever, and he's wanting to sell them for X amount of dollars and yada yada." And I'm like, it hit me. I was like, yo, that's a great idea to have some commission salespeople, because that's basically what I'm doing with the referrals. It's just if I actually have just like salespeople that go out there and they're out there doing it, they'll be a lot better. And yeah, that guy ended up being a piece of shit. So yeah, that didn't even start to happen, but it got my brain rolling with other situations. Cause you know, like, dude, this fucking thing, man, it drives me nuts whenever, you know, you try to develop business relationship with people and then they're just pieces of shit. So this guy, was like, we booked in for a call at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. Right. And, confirmed with him at like 7:30. Right. Yeah, you still gonna be good? Yeah, okay, cool. Here's the link. We'll see you here in like an hour and a half. 9 o'clock rolls around, nothing. 9:15. My business partner had called him or had messaged him a few times. Dude hasn't even read the messages. He tried calling him on his phone and he went straight to voicemail, right? And so I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. So me and that dude, we were just talking business and stuff like that, right? Well, so then yesterday, my business partner talks to me. He's like, "Hey man, dude, hit me up." I'm like, "Oh yeah, what time?" He goes, 1 p.m. So we had a business meeting at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. And this guy didn't message back until 1 p.m. the next day and said, "My bad, man. I had some people over and I lost my phone. I had people."
What?
Yeah, I had people over and I lost my phone and I couldn't find it. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, so though all those people, none of them had a phone. You don't have a computer. You had no way to get on Facebook, even on somebody else's account, and send a message. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Unreliable people just fucking kill me. And you know, boom. Me, because Hard Coast, we've been kind of working together a little bit, and I'm a really stickler for being on time. This is how this is going, and if you can't make it, just let me know, dude.
Yeah.
That's all, you know. Then you know, I'll fill in time somewhere else, you know, and stuff like that. But communication is key, dude.
Right.
Especially if you're doing any kind of collaboration with anybody. That is just plain rude, man.
And
nothing turns me off more than that.
That's the thing too, is that like, and then so he was like, "Oh, well, I can do tonight," you know, last night, and I was like, "Well, I'm already booked." I was like, "Can he do Monday or Tuesday?" And my business partner's like, "Nah, he's gonna be out of town Monday and Tuesday." I was like, "Okay, so he's not gonna have access to the internet?" He's like, "Oh, well, he's gonna be in Vegas." I'm like, "And?"
"And?"
"And he can't take time for a 30-minute phone call anytime over those 2 days? No, fuck this guy. He's a piece of shit." Like, straight up. That's what I told him. I was like, "Fuck this guy. He's a piece of shit." Like, dude, like, and you know what? It's crazy because we ran into that situation another time. I think honestly, my business partner, he just sucks at finding people sometimes. But I mean, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But another time, we had a guy who same situation. We had a call at like 8 or 9 o'clock. We confirmed with him an hour before, and then no call, no show. He ends up texting back. So we had a 9 o'clock appointment. He texts back the next day at like It was like 22, 23 hours later, I think it was, right? The next day in the evening, at like 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, my bad, man, I accidentally fell asleep. And I'm like, what, do you have fucking narcolepsy? Like, you have a business meeting that you confirm an hour before it, and you fall asleep, and then you don't respond back apologizing for almost a fucking 24 hours later? No, that's not how it works. If you accidentally fall asleep, okay, fine. But you wake up at like 1, 2, 4 o'clock in the morning and send a message, oh, my bad, right? Hypothetically. You know, if you lose your phone because people were over, you know, you find it a couple hours later and you message, oh, my bad, not the next day at 1 p.m. I'm like, no, I know exactly what happened. You were fucking partying. That's what it was. And this wasn't important on your list. It wasn't more important than partying. So fuck you. I don't want to do business with you. That's just straight up.
Yeah. Because you're not serious. You're not serious
at all, man. Because like, and so I was joking. I was like, all right, so the minimum business requirement or the minimum requirements for the salespeople going forward are you can't have narcolepsy. When people are around you, you cannot misplace your phone when other humans are around you. And you have to be able to have internet access whenever you leave your house. Like bare minimum shit. Like, motherfucker, are you? And these are the people that are all about, like, I'm in the hip hop space. They're like, oh, I'm about my business and blah, blah, blah. Oh, really? That's why you fall asleep at 9 o'clock on a Friday night? Yeah, bullshit. That's why when other humans are around, you misplace your phone? Bullshit. That's why whenever you leave town, you can't have a 30-minute business meeting? Fuck you. Like, yo, why would I want to give you a cut of anything that I'm fucking doing?
Exactly. They want all the fame. They want all the recognition, but they don't want to do any of the fucking work and any of the ground pounding.
It's complete horse shit. And I'm just like, yo, fuck you, man. You ain't about shit. And then whenever you tell them fuck off, they're like, oh man, you ain't serious. No, you're not serious. Go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking idiots, man. Yeah, so that's why I don't like people.
I think that we have surrounded ourselves, you know, with the four or five people that we have in our circle. Everybody's serious about this shit, dude. We, you know, if we can't make it, we call each other.
Yeah.
If we or message each other and stuff like that. Like, you know, Jason's not with us today. He had a long weekend with his business, and he says, "Yeah, sorry, man, I'm just not going to make it, you know, today." And he's got other stuff going on. He's got a 9-to-5, just like I have a 9-to-5, and you know, time is limited, and you know, these things are prevalent when you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to start a business, or you got a business and you're trying to keep it going. You got to have serious people there. You got to have those people that are committed for wanting to grow businesses and want to go forward with just trying to make it in this world, man. Like I said, you know, I took your advice the other day too, and you know, want to get that 7 different streams of income coming in to make sure that I've always got something coming in. I've always got some money coming in on the plate, dude. And I think that's great advice. And your idea with getting commissioned salespeople in your space is going to give that opportunity to somebody who is actually a salesperson to go out there and go get it, man. But yeah, you got to be serious about what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to be serious, and you got to be willing to put some work in. Okay, you know, going out of town. Okay, that's fine. You know, give me an hour worth of your work out of that time, because I know you're going to be fucking around on Facebook. You know, I know you're going to be, you know, you're going to have travel time.
Yeah, you can see it, right? You can see it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have something, you know, you're going to have some kind of, you know, downtime. You can't tell me you're not going to have any downtime. It's like, no. Okay. So this is not for you, because you clearly don't want this.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to do this, you'd be like, oh, well, I'm heading out of town. I'm going to be in Vegas both those days. Let me hit you up Monday morning and let you know what my day looks like, and then we'll book something. Okay, cool. Sounds like a plan, right? I'd be perfectly fine with that. You know, or it's like,
exactly.
Let's play it by ear, because I will be at, like, you know, just something like, we'll play it by ear because I'm going to be traveling. Okay, cool. Sounds like a plan, man.
Oh yeah, Monday. Even if he said Monday and Tuesday won't work for me, how does Wednesday sound? Okay, that sounds good too. But whenever you miss an appointment on a Saturday that's supposed to be good for you, and then you say, "Oh, I can do Sunday, but I can't do any time in the week." Oh, well, no, I don't work for you. You're trying to work for me. You know, that's just, that's it. I mean, and that's what I told my business partner, because my business partner was trying to be like, well, let's just make it work. I'm like, no, fuck yeah. And fuck you too, because we got to establish our dominance. He, if we bend to him, he's going to think we work for him. And that's not how it goes.
Exactly.
He's working. He's wanting to work for us. So he needs to fucking do what he's supposed to do. You know, as an employee, you do what you're fucking told, or you don't get to fucking make any money.
Or you don't work. You don't work. Yeah, you don't work, man.
It's that simple. I'll
find somebody else who wants to work.
It's that simple.
And that's funny, because you can't find a lot. You can't, and you can't find a lot of people that want to work. And again, you can't find a lot of people that want to buy, even at free. So I mean, most of the stuff that I've been doing, and unfortunately, not unfortunately, but fortunately for us, me and you. You know, with this gardening kind of cooperation that we're going to be doing, and I'm very, very much looking forward to it, but I'm going to put some of my stuff behind the paywall, and it's just going to be, hey, you know, I'm going to be like a drug dealer. The first taste is free. You want more?
Right.
It's going to cost you 99 cents an episode or something like that. It's going to cost you something to enter the door. And most people won't bite at the free stuff anyway. I mean, you know, if they think if it's free, then it's cheap and it's non-informative and it's just an infomercial or something like that. And then and as the content gets better, they start paying for it. It's kind of a weird situation. I've learned a lot in the last couple of years, and especially in this last couple of months that I've been with you guys. It's just been a godsend and actually put my life kind of on a better trajectory, man. I'm just happy to, you know, be a part of all this space. You know, since I met you guys on the old Nomad Network, it's been a trajectory up since then, man. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, I just pulled into work. So yeah, we do this from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every day, Pacific Standard Time. Missing a couple of people today only because Ken's on the road somewhere. He's probably in Arizona already. And Jason had his thing going on with his work and everything else. But we'll make sure that we get him back sometime during the week when he's not so busy. Tom, I want to thank you for being here again. Tom is a new speaker here, Tom Cease, and he'll be putting his insights and stuff. Absolutely. And Harkos, as always, buddy,
you are
a wealth of information. And, of course, listen to Aaron's podcast. Aaron, I had to say it, podcast will be dropping, I guess, tomorrow, Tuesdays, on your favorite podcast app. And I will be dropping this one as soon as Jason sometime gets everything in the recording back down. And if that happens later on this afternoon, that's when it happens. But we did drop a podcast for Sunday night. Our flagship podcast dropped this morning. So you can go and do the Amy After Hours, which is Amy Nichols. Tattoo artist and entrepreneur. Go listen to that. It's gonna be an excellent episode. It was really funny. I liked the content that was coming in. And yeah, we're just gonna leave it at that. Tomorrow we'll be back, and I would wish you guys a great day, and be good to yourselves. All right, have a good day, guys.
Yeah. Later.
Thanks.